struggle and stop are not the same things. Don't hate your struggles. They're making you stronger. Sometimes people struggle and they think, well, because I'm in a struggle, maybe I should just stop. Maybe this is just too much for me. Maybe I was expecting too much. But God says, ask largely of me. Ask largely of me. Don't be afraid to ask for even more. Some of you in this room struggled with all kinds of things. And it's made you want to just sit down and life be a little more easy. If life could just be a little more easy. If it just wasn't so hard to be here on the planet. Your struggle and the struggles you go through make you stronger if you will walk through it with Jesus. This is the difference between people who keep going and people who give up. You have to stay in the fight. It is a fight. Trust me, I know I'm fighting all this morning. I'm fighting. Some of you, it was a fight to get here. You said, I'm going to go. God is faithful. He doesn't need your ability. He needs your willingness. God doesn't need your ability. He needs your willingness. Can you give him that? Can you say, God, I struggle. This is hard. Being here on the planet dealing with this stuff, God, it's hard. And Jesus will say, I know. That's why I took all your struggles in my body on the tree. All the hurts, the disappointments. I know the frailty of humanity. I was there. So when you're dealing with Jesus, you're not dealing with someone who doesn't know what they're talking about. So with Jesus, how can you ask that of me? And then you got to remember, oh, that's right. He was here. I don't see how he did what all he did. I really don't. When I was looking just at what he went through, the crucifixion and just all of it, and just the rejection, just constant rejection by his family, his own brothers. He had four brothers. They didn't believe. He had sisters. He was not an only child. What are you struggling with today? And what are you doing about it? Are you just doing the same thing you always do? Or are you going to Jesus with it? See, there's things I can't do. I literally can't. I can't even do what I'm doing right now. I can't do it. The only way I can do anything at all is because of Jesus. The only reason I want to even attempt things is because of Jesus. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Part of my struggle this morning is I didn't set my phone up, so I'm like, wait, let me just a minute. Okay. Galatians 1:3, Paul wrote this, it's a grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Grace and peace from God. It's through Jesus Christ, your grace and your peace for everything you're trying to do, everything you're going through. It's going to come. It comes because of Jesus. Matthew 20:25 says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." He was born to die so that we could live. John 10:14-15, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." You've already had somebody die for you to save your life. Did you know that? You watch movies every once in a while. Somebody gave their life so somebody could live. This is what Jesus did for all of us. John 10:17-18 says, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down, and I have power to take it again." You need to understand, nobody kills Jesus. He gave his life. They didn't have power to kill him. He gave his life willingly, on purpose, for purpose. Luke 19:10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." What was that? All of us. We were the lost, the wayward. We didn't know. We couldn't find our way out of a paper bag. People had ideas. They had traditions. They had cultures. But none of them was salvation. Now I'm going to skip over now to John 11. I just kind of want to lay a little bit of a frame there. Somebody's died for you. Nobody took his life. He gave his life for you. That makes you pretty valuable, don't you think? Never devalue yourself, no matter what you're going through or what your struggles are. Don't take the devil personally. He attacks everybody. Because he's a jerk. It's just what he does. He's the God of this world. He is, but he's not your God, because you're not of the world. I hope you got that. Some people think, well, Satan's just so powerful. He's not your God. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan at the cross. This is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating. My gosh. My heart is just almost giddy with, you know, Satan thought he had him. He had a Judas. You know, he planted these thoughts and these seeds in Judas. And Judas executed. And then Judas went out and killed himself. And by the way, he returned the money first. He threw it down to the chief priests. He said, I've sinned. And he was an innocent man. He felt immediate conviction. And he didn't think he could live with himself. He had been so overtaken by the enemy. You know, sometimes it makes you wonder, didn't he listen to one thing Jesus said? But they all forsook him. In some ways, they all betrayed him. Jesus betrayed him to death, but they all betrayed him. I don't know who, they all scattered. They all left. He was betrayed by everybody he had been investing in all those years. And he knew that it was going to happen. Some people are very surprised about life. I've gotten where I'm not as surprised I don't always like it, but I'm not always surprised. Y'all understand what I'm saying about everything? In John 11, look at this. I'm going to start in verse 45. I'm probably going to be all over the planet this morning, so y'all hang in there with me. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Little tattletales. They were always going, you know what Jesus did this time? Well, he's done this and he's done that. He raised people from the dead. He's cleansed the lepers. What are we going to do about Jesus? What are we going to do about Jesus? My question to you is, what are you going to do about Jesus? What are you going to do about Jesus? Jesus would tell you, come out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Come out from the wishy-washy people. Come out and be separate. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. He'd raised him from the dead. I'm not going to go into that whole story. But Jesus had just raised him from the dead. There was no small commotion that erupted after everybody found out about this. Go to verse 46. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things. Little tattletales. Do you know what he did this time? Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. What are the signs? Signs that he's the Christ. He was working signs of prophecies being fulfilled, that he was exactly who he claimed to be, Son of God and Son of Man. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. Oh, we can't have that. Listen to their justification. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and the nation, our place. Me. My place of worship, where I get to teach all the people and do the whatever. The Pharisees, they were so haughty. They were so full of themselves. Never mind that they were going to kill or try to get rid of an innocent man. And then they were real upset. He goes, we've got to do something about this. We can't have this going on. We just can't have all these people being healed and happy. Now this, he did not say on his own authority. Well, Caiaphas, go down. And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. He didn't even realize God can use somebody when they didn't even know that they're being used by God. Did you know that? And he had to have somebody in authority speak that prophetic word. And as high priest, he spoke that prophetic word that Jesus was going to die for the whole nation. And that's exactly what ended up happening. The Bible is extremely, extremely prophetic. The things that God says, you can go back over and over and over in the scriptures and see where it was told, where it was said. And some of these scriptures were written like 1,000 years before Jesus. Isaiah 53, it was written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And yet, it's almost tit for tat what happened to Jesus. Let's keep going. He said, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. It was just that simple. They plotted to kill Jesus. We just can't have this man who is healing people. And of course, they felt conviction a lot. They didn't like feeling convicted of their sin, because Jesus blasted them several times about their own hypocrisy. He's trying to not swallow a camel. They misused the law of Moses. They didn't fulfill the law of Moses. They misused the law of Moses. There's a difference. And he would call their hand on it. And they were jealous of him. They were extremely jealous of him. And they liked their position with Rome. That's a whole nother thing. It's like trying to mix oil and water. Well, after this, Jesus no longer was able to even walk openly because he knew and found out they're plotting to kill him. But it wasn't yet his time. It wasn't like he was afraid to die. He knew he was going to die, but it had to be in God's timing. There are things in your life. It's got to be in God's timing. It has to be in God's timing for things. There's a way that God goes about doing things, and he doesn't have to explain it to us. He doesn't owe me an explanation about anything at all in my life. He really doesn't. He doesn't owe you one either. We have to remember, he's God and we're not. But now Jesus, he understood his time wasn't yet. It was really, really getting close. Because now they're plotting to kill him. This is where it began, is with this. Well, Passover was near. Okay? So, let's move forward. I'll go to John 12. I'm going to read 1 through 8. It's 6 days before the Passover. Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. It was very, very expensive. It was extremely expensive. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Oh, doesn't he sound so righteous? Why are we wasting this money? Some people feel like they're wasting money. Excuse me, it's not yours. If I belong to God, everything I have also belongs to God. We don't have the right to handle our money just any way we want to. Did you know that? He said, this said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he was to take what was put in. He used to just kind of help himself. He was the treasurer. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's kept this for the day of my burial." Whoa, that would have been a hint, right? "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." I think that's a significant thing. He said, you'll always have the poor, but this is special. She did this out of her love and devotion, and she has anointed him for burial. She did it by the Spirit of God, because I don't know that she knows exactly what's fixing to go down. She did it out of her devotion, out of the love of her heart. It was just spilling over. And she just basically everything she had was very, very expensive, and she wiped his feet. She got down low. Y'all understand? She wasn't haughty. She got down to a very humble position, like the position of a servant would, and wiped his feet with her hair in this costly, costly oil. But Jesus knew what it was for. See, she didn't know. Sometimes you feel led to do something. At the time, you don't know why you feel led to do it. I'm showing you, he's showing us how to be led, how to be led of the Spirit, right? Because everything Jesus did, he did by the Holy Ghost, remember? He could not do and did not do any miracles until the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove and he was full of the Holy Ghost. And the early church didn't either. You know, they couldn't on their own. When Jesus was with them, he gave them, you know, authority while he was on the earth. But then after they left, they go, ooh, it's bad now. He said, go tarry. I'm sending what the Father's promised. He said, whatever you do, don't go do anything yet. Just wait. Sometimes we have to wait on God for things. His timing is everything. I know I'm saying that over and over. A lot of people, they say, yeah, I've heard that. But do you believe it? You have to believe this or you won't keep going. You won't do it. I promise you won't. Because Jesus, you know, he's a grown man. He's been on the planet a long time, right? But it never was his time yet. And yet Jesus knew that Father God was his father when he was 12 years old. That's a long wait, don't you think, for somebody who's never sinned? And yet, he did not just say, well, I know while I was sent. He's found himself in the words where he found himself. He found himself in all the promises. He knew where he was born, and he knew where he was raised. And he fulfilled all those prophetic words that had been spoken about who it would be and where he would live and all that. It was in all the Old Testament. But they kept looking for something different. We overlook the ordinary ways God wants to work. People are overlooked all the time because our culture is impressed with a lot of money, the kind of car you drive, where you live. These are things that impress people in the world. They always have. They always have. So what does Jesus do? He goes, I'm gonna come and be a carpenter's kid. And they weren't real wealthy. He wasn't wealthy as a child. You'll understand that. And he worked, and he learned how to do a trade at his father's shop. But then there came a day when God began to move his heart to be more involved, to be more involved in God's plan. But even then, it was line upon line and precept upon precept. Because remember, when he was just a young teenager, and he was 12 years old, and they couldn't find him, he was questioning. He was there questioning the Pharisees and the Sadducees about the law and what it means and all this. And they were amazed at his answers. They were amazed at his answers. And he was only 12. But it still wasn't time yet. But there would be a time when he would come out. He would come out. He would come out of where he was into his ultimate that God had promised him, right? You have a time to come out also. And then you'll have another one after that. Because it's line upon line and precept upon precept. Like where you start isn't where you finish. There's all kinds of things all along the way that God wants to download into us. You can't have something come out of you if it's not downloaded into you. This is the power of the Word of God. Why I'm so emphatic about read the Word of God for yourself. Read, 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 read. Man, the truth you know is what makes you free. Not the truth just somebody tells you. Somebody can tell you something and you not know it. There's a difference in you knowing it in your knower and somebody just telling it to you. It's a huge difference. You could have a scientist, some rocket scientist come up, and they're doing all this calculus and trig and all this stuff, whatever, on some little whiteboard, and they're doing a little formula, and they go, now do you get it? I heard everything you said, but no, I don't get it. No, I don't know, I don't know. Well, you could do it. No, I don't know, I don't know what you said. I mean, I listened to her, but I don't know what you said. Have y'all ever had am I the only person who's ever had an experience like that? And so it's the same thing with the Word of God. You can listen, but you didn't hear, you don't know what it said yet. Because the Word of God is designed to talk to you. It's designed to speak to you. Why? Because it's alive. The Word of God is living. It's quickened by the Holy Spirit to you. So that now it's not just words on a page. It's something that goes into your spirit and you go, oh, I never saw that before. But when you see it, it's like it comes in to change you. This is where you're changed. You can sit in a church your whole life and just sit in a church. Because you're not going to get what you need by coming just on Sunday morning. You're not. I'm telling you straight up, you're not. I'm being real honest. I mean, you are not. And it wasn't ever meant to just be that. It was meant to be an encouragement for you to do what you're supposed to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Y'all understand? And all throughout the day. That our thoughts would be on him and his direction for our lives. Because you don't know. It's like, it's line upon line. If you don't obey the first thing God told you, why would he tell you anything else? God doesn't show you the end. He doesn't show you the end. He'll show you like the next step. But if you won't, you say, well, I don't know because I don't know how that's going to turn out. Well, then you're not going to see the end. You have to be willing to take the next step. Because he's leading you in the way you should go, the Bible says. He will lead you. He will lead you in the way you should go. But if you're trying to get it all figured out and then you'll make a decision, you'll never do it. And you'll never yield. Because you'll be too afraid. You'll be too afraid. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. It cannot be more clear than that. The same thing happens today. People feel a little pressure. Like these people were feeling some pressure after Jesus was doing all that Jesus was doing. And they begin to feel some pressure. And a lot of people won't confess Jesus openly. The Pharisees, they say, well, what do we do? I mean, this can't happen to us because this will mess up all our plans, this Jesus guy. Well, that's the purpose. He comes to mess up your plans too, because your plans and what you've had going for a long time, how has that worked for you? Where is your joy? Where is your stability? Y'all understand? But it's like He's not going to tell you everything up front. He's not going to do it, because then there's no faith involved and there's certainly no trust. You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Sometimes people just want to play it too safe. And all I can tell you is that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Living with the devil all the time and doing what he tells you, how is that safe? How has that worked for you? How did it work for you in your life? When you just did whatever the devil told you, did you feel safe? Was it safe? No, it was crazy. It was crazy is what it was. I can only say that because it takes crazy to know crazy. But I'm telling you, it was crazy. But you don't have to stay there, and that's not where God wants you to live. Look in, I don't think where I want to go with all this. Let me keep reading. I'm going to go. Jesus said, let her alone. She's kept this for me for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Which was kind of a hint, like he's leaving. You could hear these subtle things that he's saying. She's prepared this for my burial. Duh. What is it that they're missing? How closely do we listen to Jesus? I mean, really, how closely are we actually listening to him? Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. They said, let's go see him. Let's go see if that's legit or not. Let's go see, because we heard this. We want to go. So they were kind of spectating is what they're doing. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Well, we can't have that. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, he's fulfilling more prophecy, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. I have lost track about how many things, I wanted to go through a bunch on that, but I don't have time, that actually were there that were listed that Jesus was going to do and fulfill. But anybody who actually had actually read the Old Testament or was actually keeping the law of Moses, they would have seen this, which means a lot of people weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing to begin with, but they would have seen it. And Hosanna, it's an exclamation of adoration, and another word for it is save. Save. So they're adoring him while they're saying save. In verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him. Now it began to make sense that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, they're filled. He had done so many signs. So, I mean, they were never satisfied. And they still weren't satisfied. So now he's raising people from the dead. Well, you know, I don't know, but, you know, it could be just a fluky thing that happened that day. But this man had been in the tomb days. So the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, you were that. You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. They were really scared now. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at that feast, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He just changed the subject. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. When we honor Jesus, God honors us. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I want you to just see the crowd he's having to deal with all the time. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake, which means they heard it. They did hear it. It came for your sake. If it came for their sake, it was something they could hear, because he already knew who he was. Now this is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So who was the ruler of the world? Satan. Yes. If I be lifted up from earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he says, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed, and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Isaiah had prophesied that they would not believe in him long before this. What I'm going to do next time is we're going to go through those prophecies. I mean, line by line. There's Isaiah's prophecy, but also David's prophecy. And they're very powerful things that were said. But I just want us to understand this morning that Jesus, there was a time when he had to just kind of come out, and now it's time. Now it's time. But he knew who he was when he was 12, which means Jesus never tried to promote himself. He was always Jesus. When he was 7 years old, he was still Jesus. He never sinned. He never sinned. He was God on foot, really. He was God in a human body. His spirit was completely pure, totally uncontaminated. But his soul had to learn. He learned who he was through the scriptures. And so I think it was disconcerting to him that why don't they read the same scriptures? Why don't they see who I am? Why don't they understand? You could have preconceived ideas about what God's called you to do. Did you know that? You can get prophetic words about things, but the way you're seeing it is not it. God's going to get you to a place where you see it the way it really is. And he'll also show you what it's really going to be for you. And then you'll have a decision to make, because it's not going to look easy to you. Just like Jesus' life, it didn't look easy. It wasn't easy. That people think you're crazy. He's healing people. He's giving his life for people. All of the, quote, important people of the world he grew up in were against him. You may find yourself in a similar position one day. What will you do? Y'all stand up. The Bible says, come out. Come out and be ye separate. Separate from what? The ideations of the world. The worldview. How the world sees things. If you live your life by the recent trends, what's on social media, all those kinds of things, who are you trying to fit in with? There's a lot of pressure for us to fit in with people that are our age or the world system. We want to feel like we're somebody. That's the worst thing that could happen to you. Because as soon as you think you're fitting in and you're somebody, that's the beginning of your downfall. We're not here to fit in with the world, y'all. We're here to lead the world to something they don't know, to someone they don't know. Don't forget your mission. Would it just kill you if all your friends thought you were a geek? Would you just lay awake at night and just worry about that a lot? See, Jesus was strange. He was 12, 14, 16. He was a strange teenager. He just wanted to please God. He always obeyed his parents. He never talked back. He never said a negative word about anybody. You know, he obeyed. I don't know, did Jesus ever wonder did he look cool or not? You suppose he ever wondered? I don't think he cared. You know why? He had never sinned. Because sin taints you. Sin taints your perspective of how you see things. It does. Because on some level, you'll have to justify why you keep doing what you're doing, which you know is wrong. Sometimes Jesus would say, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. He's not telling you the truth to burst your bubble. He's telling you the truth so that you will live and not die and declare the glory of the Lord. I want to have communion this morning. I want to ask that we just stay in this frame of reference as we take communion. I don't know. I just really want to take communion this morning. I told him, I said, I want to do communion. This is awesome. I just, you know, but I feel it's important because he says, do this in remembrance of me. It wasn't just remember that he died, but remember how he lived. When you think of Jesus, are you remembering how he lived? Or just how he died?
Can I get you and Lila to pass out the communion to everyone, please? It's over there on the end of the... Well, it was time for the Passover. The Passover was just one of several festivals and feasts that, you know, God had given for the children of Israel to observe. And if you remember, the way the Passover got its name is that when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt under harsh taskmasters, God sent Moses, and he went to the Pharaoh, and he started bringing all these plagues against the children of Pharaoh, the citizens of Egypt. And every time Moses would go, and the plague would come, and Pharaoh would say, no, stop the plague, and I'll let the children go. And Moses would stop the plague, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He never would let him go. All the way till the last plague. And that's when he had him take the blood of a lamb and put it on the doorpost, splattered on the wood. And that night when the death angel came to take the firstborn son of every house that didn't have blood over the door. And for the children of Israel, when he saw the blood, he passed over. They were saved. So God said, I want you to celebrate this. I want you to remember the day you were set free because you were passed over because of the blood. So they were just going to observe the Passover. This wasn't the first time they had observed the Passover with Jesus. At least twice previously they had. They just didn't know this was the last time. Death's coming. For a firstborn son. But only one. And he died so we could be set free forever. Free from the bondage of sin. So that night when Jesus was with his disciples, he took the bread. He said, my body's going to be broken. Now my body's going to be broken so your body can be healed. And he said, take and eat. And in the same manner, he took the cup. So this represents the innocent blood. It's about to be splattered on wood. So you can go free. Forever. And I hope it's for that day when not just a mortal raises the cup, but the day will come when you'll raise the cup. And he'll say, welcome. Well done. You've taken the cup. And when they finish, they sang a hymn. So, this came to me that they sing a hymn. I think y'all know this one. It's called He Lives. So sing it with me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And every time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Amen. Stephen?
Walk it out. Take every step in faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Do not waver from the path. So what would you do if you stay where you are? There would be no growth. There would only be a withering away. Faint not. Persevere. You will see victory.
Amen. Don't you love how the word confirms the word? I love that. I love you all very much. I hope you know that. I don't know who cries the most, him or me. But, I mean, sometimes you just overwhelmed sometimes. The love of God really is quite overwhelming when you think about it. What he actually did on purpose, not by accident, but day by day, knowing one day my blood will be all over wood. And yet, when they were nailing him to the wood, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is the level of forgiveness he calls us to walk in, y'all. That level of forgiveness, no matter what somebody's done, said, you love them with his love, the way he would love them or embrace them. Y'all understand? See, this is the true mark. When they kick you and you're down, they come up and kick you again and you bless them. Because that's what Jesus did. Amen. I love you guys very much. And I'll see y'all next Sunday, if not before. Well, have a great week.